to the Lions of Liberty podcast.
Hello, everybody. Mark Claire is once again missing in action. Instead, you're stuck with me, Brian McWilliams, for another episode of Mr. Johnson's Liberty Hood. And if you've been following along, you know that Gary, he's gotten a good number of media appearances lately, so we have a lot to talk about, including basically today, this Fusion Forum aired, which thanks for airing something right in the middle of the workday, guys, that's live streaming. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Have not gotten to watch the full thing. It's recording on a Wednesday here. But the good news is I don't have to just run through this and ramble out into the void all alone. I do have a very special guest with me, the mysterious Rico. Hey, Rico.
You can call me the loved Rico. Because I'm loved now.
Oh, I forgot. Very excited. That's true. You do have one person on the forum that loves you.
Slowly but surely.
Yep, yep. One at a time.
One a year is my goal. In a decade, I'll have 10 friends.
And you, too, can express your love for Rico by going to our Facebook forum. That's just go to Facebook, type in Lions of Liberty Forum. That'll come right up for you. And by the way, if you love the Lions of Liberty, why don't you go ahead and maybe go through our Amazon link? That's at lionsofliberty.com/Amazon. Speaking of shows, this show, 238 of the show, which means you can also go to lionsofliberty.com/238. We'll have all the show notes there for you, including some clips, some of the audio stuff, some of the videos, and links to all the news articles. Now, if you're not familiar with the show, what we do here, we look at Gary Johnson's actions along with his running mate, Bill Weld, and we're going to say, hey, that's either good or bad. If it's good, we give it a Johnson, and if it's bad, we give it a Johnson. And old Gary has not been doing too great as of late. He's gotten a lot more Johnsons, especially after our last episode. So let's see if he can pick it up a little bit here. Rico, are you ready to play the game?
Yeah, I'm ready to roar. Is that the wrong show?
That's Mark's show. How dare you do that on this show?
Whoops.
I think for Gary Johnson, it's less of a roar and it's more of like a mewling whine. Eh. Are you ready to weekly whine?
I'm ready. Okay.
All right, here we go. All right, first thing we got to talk about is the Rise Up commercial. Now, if you guys haven't seen this at home, let me just play a tiny bit of it for you and just get down with it.
I'm Governor Gary Johnson. I'll be on the ballot for president in 2016. To America's millennials, I say this. By not standing up and voting two-party corruption out of office years ago, people my age have made a real mess of things for people your age.
How about that baseline, folks? Amazing. Rico, were you blown away? Did it take you back to the 70s Disco Town Funk?
I play it on repeat when I wake up in the morning.
It's, you know, it sounds like the bad action music from the movie Doom, like Doom, the movie starring The Rock and Carl Urban.
I haven't seen it. How dare I not see a movie starring The Rock?
A man of your wrestling prowess, I would have presumed. But yeah, so you got that thumping bass line. But more than anything, we got to talk about is the attire, right?
Yeah, apparently Gary Johnson's a busy man, and he filmed this commercial after getting out of the gym at the Marriott or wherever he was staying, because it looked like he had a workout shorts on and earbuds around his neck.
It's like he just came from shooting a Michelob Ultra commercial and just kind of rolled out from that set and onto this set.
I watched it three times, and I don't remember anything really he said, because I was just focusing on trying to figure out what he was wearing around his neck.
Yeah, well, exactly, because he has on. So for those of you who can't see this, just listening, as we know, he's got sunglasses on the top of his head, and he's got the weirdest pair. It's like, I think they're wireless, maybe earphones, but they're not like earbuds that you pop in. It's like this weird wraparound thing, like an old woman wears her glasses and it has that rope around the back of them to keep it from falling off her head. It looks like that, but they're earbuds, and they're there the entire time he's on this commercial talking. It's bizarre.
Yeah. I guess his fashion consultant was sick that morning.
Seriously. Were they like, Gary, the only way you're going to reach the millennials is by wearing sunglasses on your head and earbuds around your neck. Everybody's doing it, man.
But I do have to give him credit for one thing that was missing in the commercial. And that was Bill Weld.
Yeah.
I didn't see him anywhere.
Very good job, point. Gary. Yeah. Holy moly. He cut Bill Weld off. Finally, he removed the tumor. Well, I wish he'd removed the tumor. We're going to talk a lot about Bill Weld today, by the way. I swear to God, Bill Weld, he's like Gary's colostomy bag that he's just carrying around with him at all times. And I swear, every time Gary gets up, like lets him off the leash and lets the bag go somewhere, the shit comes out of the bag and spews everywhere. The cork pops out because every time Bill Weld's on his own, it's just spewing shit.
Yeah, the Weld colostomy bag is always full.
Always full.
It's like, the worst.
It's amazing. It's like the never-ending mug of beer, but just with shit. All right. So that's Rise. So the Rise Up commercial, though. Get overall thoughts on Eureka other than the fashion.
His statement in the commercial, and I've heard him say it other places, where he's like, just give me your vote this one time. Like, you're giving him $5 and telling him don't spend it all on candy and he won't let you down.
Right. It's like, just this once. You're like, well, we don't have that many votes. I only have one vote, by the way.
let's try to think of a more compelling, I guess, line than just give me your vote this one time. And if you don't like me, vote for someone else in 4 years. Come on. Really? But
yeah,
with the absence of Weld, I'm going to have to say Johnson.
All right. Wow. An early Johnson for the Weld absence. Oh, God. You know what, man? I don't know. I'm going opposite. I just think the whole look of it, Gary still has that weird, you know, just non-interested voice going on. He doesn't sell, like, he's saying things that should be powerful and inspiring, but he just doesn't sell them enough. He's just like, yo, give me your vote. And it's like, God, come on, man. So John's off.
Oh, wow. It's a harsh grade. I don't see many positives for Gary coming forward.
We're starting. We're getting right into the thick of things right now. Debates are right around the corner. Johnson's still polling like 11% in one, 5% in the other one. And I saw an interesting point, by the way. Somebody was posting about it. It might have been the Libertarian Republic. But they're talking about how Johnson, you know, they don't want Johnson just to get in the debates and be happy with getting like 10%. Because then they'll say all these libertarians that nominated him and, you know, foolishly, in many of our opinions, nominated Gary Johnson, will then say, oh, see, but he got, you know, 10 times what he got before. Meanwhile, Jill Stein had like 0.03% of the vote when she ran last time, and she's at 5%. So, I mean, you put a donkey out there, he's going to get 4%.
Yeah, it may have something to do with the two main party candidates that are trotting out this time.
Yeah, exactly right. So, all right, moving on. Let's go to the next one. How about this? So Gary, he likes to throw out a figure, and he's done it over and over again, and we haven't talked about it yet. But he likes to throw out a figure saying that the Pentagon said that 20% of the bases can be closed. And he always says it in that way. The Pentagon says. However, recently PolitiFact examined that. They examined it on the 15th. And they said that while the Pentagon does admit that there's some excess, and basically what it means is that there are extra bases or extra space in the bases, so those can be closed down, etc. It's not just saying, yeah, cut 20%. So what do you think of that, Mr. Rico?
I don't think there's any positive to just throwing out misstatements like that. If the Pentagon – that's not what the Pentagon's saying. If you read the articles and read the facts and figures that they're setting forth, it's not what the Pentagon's saying. It may be true that you could cut 20% of the bases, but that's not what the Pentagon is claiming. And so, you know, it just – when the political fact or whatever – said mostly false, I think you said. I don't think it's a good look. You know, you want to be accurate. And if it's what the Pentagon is saying doesn't back up what your position is, well, take a different tact, but don't throw out statements that are just untrue. So I wasn't a fan of that.
All right. Well, what do you give it?
Well, John's off, obviously.
John's off. And I agree with you. I think that you're right. You're on the right track there. He's got a figure that you could talk about this and make it work. You don't have to say the Pentagon says you can cut 20% because that is not true. Go ahead and just say what it is. There are approximately the Pentagon estimates there's 30% excess that can be cut from the budget. Now, the other part of this article I'll link to in the show notes, which you can find at lionsatliberty.com/238, is that basically, they're saying the cost savings. So the cost savings is maybe like you save $5 billion, but the cost of implementing the changes was something like $38 billion the last time they did this, because they actually did this before. So it's also, you look at that and you go, is it worth then even doing it if it's going to cost that much more money to do. Now, I say I support it because I support closing bases overseas for a different reason, a foreign policy reason. But to just say, let's do it, and then it's going to cost more anyway to do it, I don't jive with that.
Isn't that a point he could be making, though? Isn't that just a bullet point of government inefficiency if it costs more to close a base than keep it open? How is that possible?
I don't know. How expensive is it to move boxes?
A little bit more.
Right? I guess the logistics of moving men around, but it's like, they're Marines. They're used to marching. Have them march to the other base.
There's got to be a way that it's not going to cost, you know, millions and millions of dollars to implement what could be probably a straightforward procedure if they could, you know, figure it out. But
I hear you, man.
That's a case against a big government because they can't even shut down part of its inefficient sector without costing a ton of money.
Yeah, exactly right. So I say jaunts off. All right.
There you go.
Next topic. Now, this one may be a little bit of an uptick for Gary. So Gary, he wrote a byline for Time Magazine or Time.com. I don't even think the magazine's published anymore. So for Time.com, wrote an article and favorite of Rand Paul, by the way, and Ron Paul. They all like writing articles there. Libertarian friendly Time. So anyway, he wrote this piece and I'm not going to go into the whole piece. Again, I'll link to it, but the one thing I took away from it is that for the first time that I personally can remember, Gary actually espoused some sort of version of the non-aggression principle, which I was blown away by, so happy. Even though he didn't do it all the way, still it was like a pretty good nod in that direction. Rico, do you know what I'm talking about? Are you feeling me?
I do. I think Gary must have been scrolling through Reason on his iPhone one day and he just picked up some libertarian nuggets and he's like, oh, that kind of makes sense. There was one line or actually a couple lines that I thought were interesting coming from Gary. One was, I sometimes wonder, why is it so difficult for so many to grasp that in a free society, we need to allow people to make choices, even if we might personally disagree with those choices, and as long as they don't harm others. Doesn't this seem to be at odds with some other statements he's made in the past? You know, the whole Nazi cake or whatever it was.
You stole my talking point. I thought that was going to be my contribution to this conversation. Here you are beating me to the punch.
Yes. No need for you. I've already taken care of it.
No, man. Keep going. You're nailing it. I was going to say the exact same thing. Keep going.
Well, do I have to? I don't really have much more to say.
Okay, well, wrap it up then, man. Shut the fuck up. Talking too much.
Why is it taking him so long to – how many months has he been running? Why is it taking him so long to grasp this simple sentence? And is he really going to stick with it? And another – just a second line that I thought was interesting. Just short and sweet, he said, freedom isn't complicated. Well, it seems like sometimes it becomes complicated with the Johnson Weld tag team.
It does indeed. I mean, there's so many layers to freedom and what Johnson, I mean, just like you were saying, you can't say that, you know, can't talk about the non-aggression principle and then talk about making people do something against their will. And that's clearly their freedom. Their freedom is being infringed on by forcing them. Basically, it's forced labor, but you're paid for it, I guess, is the best way to look at Johnson's philosophy on making people do things. So, yeah, I agree. And as far as if he's going to stick with it, I don't know. I don't think so, because he, during the Fusion Forum, which we'll talk about a little bit more later, he once again kind of doubled down on that thought about religious freedom and how he's, you know, he's against any legislation that would protect people's religious freedoms under the guise that it could be used to discriminate against gays or whoever else. Meanwhile, that's, you know, discriminate as you will. We talked about it last episode, so I won't go into it again too much again here. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm going to say for this, a very, very reticent jaunts on.
I agree with you just by looking at the statements in a vacuum, and which I guess you kind of or I'm going to do in this case, because he's articulating it now. So we'll give him some credit now, and, you know, we'll keep a wary eye on him to see if he kind of falls off the freedom isn't complicated wagon, which I suspect he will in short order. But just as that expressing in that article, I think he did well. So John's on for me, too.
All right. Wow. Well, there you go, Gary. Getting a little bit back. Not too bad. Next topic, one I am very excited about. Now, I don't know how old the people out there are. I mean, I'm guessing some of them are my age. I'm 36. Now, there was a show I grew up on. I think it was an early Nickelodeon show called Clarissa Explains It All. And I love that show. Rico?
Why?
What do you mean? What do you mean why? How can you say why to that? It had Melissa Joan Hart. She was a young, hot thing back in those days. She knew all you needed to know about life and love and liberty.
She was poor man's Britney Spears in the late 90s.
Britney Spears was an amoeba at that point in time. She wasn't even alive.
Well, no.
Then you know what? You should thank her because Britney Spears took a page out of her book and became the hot piece later, a little later in life. Clarissa explained that to her.
Thank you, Melissa.
There you go. And you can thank her again. And by the way, she's Sabrina the Teenage Witch, for those of you who don't know who we're talking about. Melissa Joan Hart is her name. And hey, take a chance. Go to the lionsofliberty.com/Amazon. You can order some DVDs off Amazon. You can catch up, educate yourself, and then you can explain it all to other people. But here's the good news. She saw the Gary Johnson Are You Paying Attention online commercial. It's like 2 minute long thing. I'm not going to link to it. It's fine. It's just, yeah, it's fine. But she saw that. She got inspired and decided that Gary Johnson was better than Trump, better than Hillary Clinton, and that she was going to give him some money, and he was the man. She explained that to her Twitter followers. Rico, what do you think?
There was a lot of unintentional comedy in this on that webpage. And so, one, I liked her byline. She's like, you may know me from Clarissa Explains It All or Mel from Mel and Joey.
She doesn't mention Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
That's or maybe most she people said know. That, too.
Okay.
No one knows you from Mel. No one even knows you're still on TV. But be that as it may. And then the headline was that she endorsed Gary Johnson after watching online video. So let's give a big thumbs up for that well-informed endorsement. It's like, I watched a commercial. I'm going to go buy Pepsi now. Awesome.
Yeah, shame. That's from Libertarian Republic. Austin Peterson, your people are letting you down, man. Come up with something more creative headlines.
Oh, really? Was that it?
Yeah, it's from Libertarian Republic. Yeah.
Source. Maybe she really did like watch the video and then, you know, read some of his stuff and listen to him. But
she says she did in the tweet. She just donated to hashtag Let Gary Debate, which doesn't really help. I mean, you can't donate to a hashtag, Melissa. Melissa Joan Idiot. But I presume she donated to his actual campaign. She did link to his video, though, thank God. That's the
I actually kind of liked the video that she watched. It kind of had some – reminded me of I think it was like V for Vendetta or
– yeah, it had a little bit of that because it had the
like
media clips.
The
and the
end of times thing. Like everything's chaos around. You see all the Trump nonsense, Clinton nonsense, and like – the man of reason rising from the ashes, and then it's Gary Johnson.
Yeah, but then it's Gary.
Like, eh.
We need a hero. And he's like, I'm here. Great. I should. All right, what do you give it?
John's on. I don't know how it really hurts any. I don't think it moves the needle much.
Hey, you know what, man?
But hey, a little support against the Trump Clinton two-headed monster. Fine.
She's got a lot of support, I think, from people that watch Freeform Network, used to be ABC Family. I'd say anytime a celebrity is supporting a good man, she's got a bunch of Twitter followers. They'll check it out. You know, at least 150 of those people click the link. So I say, Johnson!
So just to dig a little deeper into this, so we're thinking that followers of Sabrina may endorse Gary or vote for Gary because Sabrina watched a 2 minute video.
No, so I think followers of Clarissa will vote for Gary because she watched a 2 minute video. The people that watch Sabrina are voting Clinton all the way.
They're going down the rabbit hole of uninformed voters, if that's what we're courting
right
now.
That's everybody. That's who we're trying to reach.
That's everyone, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, come on, man. People aren't delving into this stuff like we are. The average person is not sitting around listening to this. That much I can tell you.
They should be. And then we could have ads and be millionaires.
I believe that's the John McAfee libertarian plan, by the way. All right. How about this? Let's talk a little bit about the Fusion Forum. Now, that just aired today, as I was complaining about earlier. So I did not get a big chance to watch it. I'm sure you didn't either. It's in, airing in the middle of the workday. We're recording this right afterwards. So we're going to talk a little bit about, because we actually had some reader submissions, which was good, of things to talk about, which are always greatly appreciated. Now, one, I will actually read his response. It's a little long, but I'm still going to read it because he took the time to write it, and I love the fact that he wanted to engage. So during the Fusion Forum, Gary Johnson was asked about his opinion on GMOs and labeling. Now, Gary Johnson, he, you know, talks about how he has celiac disease, which I think, also, fun fact, the aliens, the Shellyak, very close, are one of the bad guys on Star Trek The Next Generation. Thank
Never
you.
Seen it.
God, Rico, I hate you so much. I don't know why I even have you on here. All right. So anyway, so he has celiac disease, which means that he can, he says, die from gluten. Now, okay, understandable enough. So he says he's for labeling. He believes that things should have to be labeled. Now, here is the response from our forum and listener, Thomas Baldwin, PhD, Thomas Baldwin. Here's what Thomas has to say. Gary Johnson was asked how he felt about his position on Monsanto, GMOs, and the Dark Act. His answer was short, saying they should provide labeling, except the government can't provide labeling as they do not handle or produce the food. He means the government needs to enforce mandatory labeling on food companies. The rationale is that because of his celiac, he needs to label to identify the wheat he is allergic to. This is wrong, because what constitutes a food allergen is determined by science. GMOs are a broad and unscientific category that cannot identify an allergen because it, encompasses all possible ingredients from peanut to corn to cheese. Also, GMOs are the food most likely not to be an allergen, or they are the only food that is tested before commercialization. Very nice point there, Thomas. All right.
Well,
go ahead.
Stole my thunder.
He's not done. Thomas isn't done. This is a simple way for a group with religious conviction against genetic engineering to use government to enforce a skull and crossbones label to vilify the process, which I agree with. A lot of people out there are completely ignorant to GMOs. My God, if you have a Facebook discussion, which you should never do except in our forum, with anybody about GMOs, the ignorance spewing out is beyond upsetting. People have no concept what a GMO is and how virtually all crops from the beginning of time are genetically engineered in one way or the other. Moving on. Okay, so it's a they're vilifying the process to push their own organic products. Bill Weld also got in on the action, saying that people have religious objections to GMOs, which Bill Weld is a fan of GMOs. Good for you, Bill. Of course, the downside to that is that Bill Weld also said that he was part of the bureaucracy handling GMO approvals, which, as Thomas pointed out in his email to me, also says it's $100 million maybe to get through that process, taking over 10 years. So kind of a wash there for Bill. Now, Thomas continues, when the state of Vermont attempted to implement labeling of this unscientific category, it was disastrous for the food companies to navigate, had all sorts of weird loopholes. Would the federal government do much better? Definitely not. The libertarian answer to this problem already exists. Anyone that wants to be completely GMO-free are now able. The free markets have once again responded beautifully. Just like kosher and halal, there is even GMO-free salt, which contains no genetic material. It's not living, but anyone wanting to drop off the money and feel the security blanket of GMO-free has this option. Thomas gives Gary's GMO stance a jots off!
Well, I can't really argue with anything he said because I really don't know that much about it, but everything he said sounds pretty knowledgeable. My impression from my lay state of my knowledge would be also a John's off. I as soon as he said the government should provide labeling, I was just like, ugh.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know, it's like it gets into the whole nanny state mentality. If the government has to do it to protect us from some unknown evil, and it's only possible for the federal government to do it, and it's just like, damn it, Gary, really, is this really your mentality? Because if that's your mentality on this, you know, why isn't the government the answer to so many other problems when we know it's not? So it's just like, getting back to, he just doesn't get it sometimes, and it's
Also, I don't like it when he's using his own personal example. He's like, I have celiac disease, and that's why I support this. Which is against the whole, like, the whole thing is, I cannot stand, we call it identity politics. You know, it's like people identifying their one point of view and pushing that point of view no matter what. Now, Thomas nailed it. From a libertarian perspective, you can't force labeling. The free market has got it handled. There's gluten-free everything. There's GMO-free. In truth, I mean, the fact, the GMO-free people should be opposed in every way to the labeling thing. Because every product that's not labeled GMO-free, people that hate GMOs are going to avoid. So you're going to make a windfall of money if you're a person that's putting GMO-free on their label and has organic products. So think about that before you want to say slap a label on everything. So, all right, moving on. Thank you, Thomas, for that submission. Additionally, you probably heard my paper rattling, my notes. I also caught something during that Fusion forum, and I'll link to the entire thing. It's about an hour long. So, but I did catch this as I was watching Gary's GMO answer because of Thomas's recommendation. He also talked about hate crime legislation. And despite what you might think, because we give him so many Johnsoffs, Gary Johnson's actually shockingly good on hate crime legislation. He, you know, he was asked for there were like a three or four people lined up that asked him questions, and a black guest had asked him, what do you think about hate crime legislation? You said you were against it. And Gary, to his credit, did not back down at all from that question. He said, no, hate crime legislation is wrong. He used himself as an example, saying that if, you know, if I throw a rock through the window and I'm a white guy and he's a black guy and I break it, now it's a hate crime, and you should not be punished for the thought behind the action. You should be punished for the action. And good job. I mean, Rico, what do you think about that answer?
It was good. I kind of listened to it a few times to make sure that, you know, he was really, because he seemed to kind of bob and weave a little bit with it. And then Weld was talking about it. And I guess Weld was against hate crime legislation, too. He kept saying, well, it's a separate element, which if it's a separate element, that means there is such a thing as a hate crime. But then on another part of his answer, he said, well, say a Nazi swastika is extraneous evidence, so it's kind of irrelevant. So I was a little confused exactly where he was on that. Johnson took it more solidly against hate crime. And I think just knowing Weld's past as a prosecutor, as he likes to point out, he's not as against it as we would like.
Yeah, well, just like he's not against Clinton and her email scandals as much as we would like, their buddy. Yeah, he drops that he was a prosecutor about as many times as Chris Christie dropped that he was a prosecutor, although Bill Weld's not claiming that he prosecuted somebody after 9/11, which, of course, was a lie anyway from Christie. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. I just honestly, I'm happy to see this is an issue that he's taking a stance on. And I thought Gary did a good job with it. Yeah, and, you know, Bill Weld's Bill Weld. But Gary's explanation, because that's one of the things that I despise, hate crime legislation. I just think it's ridiculous. I think more people get trapped into something where they didn't intend it to be a hate crime in any way. It's just a bad circumstance and saying, well, I'm black and this guy beat me up and now it's a hate crime. Or I'm gay and we got in a fight and that's a hate crime. And now they're throwing, you know, three times the sentencing on him. It doesn't deter the crime at all. If you hate somebody enough because of their race, you're going to do it. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous on its face.
It would have been nice to also hear them say, look, no matter what way you come out on it, this should not be a federal issue to begin with. It should be handled at the state level, and we're against it. I'm against it on the state level when I was governor of New Mexico, but certainly we're not going to be, you know, opening civil rights investigations or anything like that if I was in charge of, you know, the FBI. It would have been nice to see him go a little further on that, but at least he's somewhat at least opposed to the hate crime legislation, which, as you mentioned, doesn't really make any sense.
No, and it doesn't do anything either. It doesn't work. So I give it a Johnson.
I'll give it a less enthusiastic Johnson, I suppose.
All right. Still, though, Gary's getting in the win column slowly but surely on this one.
Well, except for the last Johnson. These are the easy ones that, like, does Clarissa support Gary Johnson?
I'm trying to throw the man a bone here, Rico.
These are the softball. This is softball week.
Hey, Kim coming out against hate crime legislation is a good one. All right, how about this one? Now, this is another second. Here's a second forum member shout out for our. This is from Jim Jeffries, our forum member of the Lions Liberty Forum. He said also from the same Fusion forum that Bill Weld said that taxing, they're talking about taxation and taxing. He says taxing any income more than 33% is immoral. To which Jim said, I guess 32% is perfectly fine. You know, it's like that. It drives you nuts when somebody like Bill Weld saying that. And, you know, especially from a libertarian standpoint where we want to get rid of essentially all the taxes, abolish the IRS. And then Bill Weld is like, well, anything over 33% is just unreasonable. Meanwhile, Gary Johnson's posting on Twitter about Olympic gold medalists getting taxed by the government, which is ridiculous, saying hashtag taxation is theft. So, Bill, 32% is fine. Meanwhile, Gary's saying taxation is theft. Why don't you get on the same page? It's like there's two Pez dispensers spitting out different flavors constantly. Of course, Bill Weld's is bourbon-flavored Pez, which I hope you could buy someday. Probably delicious.
Rico? Well, we know where Bill Weld stands on who should pay what and what is their fair share. So we got a line for Bill Weld. 32% is the fair share of some people.
32% Bill Weld.
There we go. Thanks, Bill.
Oddly enough, he likes his taxes at 32%, but he likes his scotch at 64 proof. Does that make sense? It doesn't have to. Doesn't have to. So that one is not only a clear jaunts off, but it's also going to segue us into the mind weld. And not only into the mind weld, Rico, but we're going to not one zone, but two zones right now. Dare I say we're going into the land of libertarian make-believe mind weld?
Whoa.
All right, Charlie. Neighborhood of make-believe.
I know. Can you take it? The people at home, their heads are exploding.
I can't handle this right now.
Their ears, if their ears weren't already bleeding, they are now. So here's what we're going to talk about. The land of liberty, make-believe / mind weld. You probably know what we're going to say here. Now, Bill Weld did an interview with Revolt.tv all in his lonesome, which again, as I said, the colostomy bag for Gary Johnson, you pull the plug out of that, it spews shit. He is spewing shit. So basically, he went on this Revolt.tv and said that you could essentially take a 5-shot military rifle and turn it into, magically, by make-believe, an automatic rifle by, quote-unquote, removing a pin. Rico, can you do that? What do you think? Is that true?
I don't think so, but I guess I'm no expert on turning rifles into automatic weapons, but I'm going to be giving that statement a healthy dose of skepticism.
Yeah, good take there. I can say definitively that is incorrect. You cannot do that. You can't take a pin out. It's not as easy as 1, 2, 3, clap your hands, turn around, sing a song, and now it's an automatic rifle. That is total bullshit. And it's
that's how witches used to turn rifles into automatic weapons in the Save 'Em Witch days. So, being from Massachusetts, I think that's where
bubble bubble toil and trouble magic rifles on the double. Yeah, exactly right. Just un-effing believable. I don't know why I'm censoring myself now. I've been cursing this whole show, but that's just unfucking believable. And of course, then he goes on to say once again that no one on watch list should be able to have guns, a completely unlibertarian stance that goes against due process in every possible way. Bill Weld, what the fuck are you doing?
You suck, Bill.
Awful. Awful. So that's a huge jaunts off.
I think Bill Weld is just a walking, talking jaunts off.
He literally is. I mean, he's so bad. And it's just to even pretend that he's libertarian. Well, he doesn't pretend. He doesn't pretend. He is not libertarian in any way. He's utterly despicable. And he's bad enough when Gary's next to him. But at least when Gary's next to him, he has to be like, you know what? I can't go too far. I shouldn't say what I really want to say while Gary's here. I'll wait till I have him taken out. And then I'll say it when I'm president and I take the seat, you know?
You know what? I'm going to credit Bill Weld with making Gary say fiscally conservative, socially liberal. I'm just going to credit Bill Weld with that.
I'm with you.
It's his fault.
That was definitely Bill Weld's baby. That was his freezer baby.
without any knowledge whatsoever. I'm just going to go there.
You heard it here first. Alleged fact. Right here on the Mr. Johnson's Liberty Hood from the Lions of Liberty podcast.
I like alleged facts.
All right. Last one, guys. Merciful last one for you listening at home. We're going to wrap it up with this little gem. Now, Bill Weld, once again, because, you know, we can't get enough of Bill Weld and his bullshit. Bill Weld is still talking about guns. And this time around, he has to say that handguns are worse than AR-15s. Now, I'm not a guy who owns an AR-15. In truth, I don't own a handgun, even though I actually been meaning to get one for many, many years. But I can say definitively, handguns are not as difficult to defend against as an AR-15. They cannot do as much damage as an AR-15. And to come out and slam guns in this way smacks of straight up progressive slash liberal democratic thought in line with basically prohibiting guns. And he was just on stage with Gary Johnson where they were asked a question and Gary fielded it somewhat well, which we discussed last episode, talking about how you know, if you're going to ban a certain type of gun, these quote unquote semi-automatic weapons, then you're also going to ban, you know, 30 million types of guns. Then you got Bill Weld going out here and spouting this bullshit saying that handguns are worse than rifles. He also said that rifles can be turned into weapons of mass destruction in that same statement. It's just...
It's like, why? Why are you saying this? What is your goal? I mean, if there's not some kind of gun control agenda on his mind... Which obviously we're not looking for. I don't understand the purpose of these statements. You're just, riling up fear and, hatred towards certain weapons, and you're going to kind of put some over here and some over there, and you're just going to make people fearful.
Right. And also, it's like they're trying to win over. They're not going to win Hillary supporters. The people that they're going to win over, they're trying to win over, are Bernie supporters. And Bernie Sanders wasn't anti-gun himself. So why are you going so heavy on this anti-gun rhetoric? Like you said, you're not going to push through legislation when you're, if you get in office, you're not going to say, okay, now we're going to make some big changes on guns. Because number one, Gary Johnson doesn't feel that way. Number two, the people that put you in office don't feel that way. So why are you just rabble rousing for no reason and making statements that can be taken out of in context in this idiotic shit you're throwing out there talking about how a handgun's worse than an AR-15 and how you can turn a rifle into an automatic weapon easily, the weapon of mass destruction. It's unbelievable.
But perfectly believable considering the source.
Yeah, it is. And at some point, I ask myself at some point if Gary Johnson is going to finally say, you know what, I can't do it anymore. You're cut, Bill. Of course, he won't. But I just pray someday it happens.
That would involve the puppet turning against the puppet master.
That would.
That usually happens.
Don't bite the hand that controls you. All right.
I don't see it happening.
I'm going to add these up. All right, so let's see here. We've got... Oh my goodness. I tried to give him some softballs, man, but it's just tough. All right. We've got, one. Oh God. We only have 7 Johnsons and, oh Lord. 12 Johns offs. Oh, that's brutal. Oh, Gary.
Another good game, Gary.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, a lot of this, half of it's Gary's fault, but a lot of it's Bill Weld. Bill Weld's all negative all the time.
Have we ever given Bill Weld a Johnson? I wonder.
I'm sure somewhere along the line he's gotten one. It might have been last episode. Maybe he had one, but yeah, I don't.
He's not doing well. Let's just say
he's not doing Weld. There you go. It's been a while since I made a pun. There you go, audience. All right, that'll do it for our show, guys. Thank you so much for listening. You can find all of the show notes for this at lionsofliberty.com/238. You can also find the Mr. Johnson's Liberty Hood archive at lionsofliberty.com/Gary. So let's take it out. Let's let Mark do his thing at the end here, as we always do. Rico, thank you for joining us.
That was my pleasure.
All right. Until then, guys.
Live long and live free.